mouth and the meditation of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As in the introduction, I'm John Weaver. I'm a Vice President of the John Ray Initiative, which is your quarterly charity. And we are, on behalf of JRI, extremely grateful for your support. The John Ray Initiative connects the environment, science, and Christianity. And this morning, I would like to speak about God's call to care for creation under the headings of catastrophe, complacency, and courage. From the epistle we read, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Belfast speaking about climate change. And while I was there, I visited the Titanic experience and learned about three ships involved in that tragic event. The first, the Titanic, which hit an iceberg and sank on the evening of the 14th, 15th of April, 1912, with the loss of 1,500 lives. This was indeed a catastrophe. In fact, it's the largest peacetime maritime catastrophe that there has been. The SS California, which was nearby, saw the icebergs, saw the distress rockets, and sailed in the opposite direction, not wanting to be involved, and believing because the Titanic was unsinkable, there was no real problem. Complacency. And the Carpathia, which received the distress call, sailed at full steam, risking the destruction of its boilers and rescued 706 passengers from the icy sea. Courage. We are all aware of the increasing effects of climate change. The reports are coming in at a relentless rate. We have seen the children and young people campaigning through Strike for Climate. Over Easter, the streets were full of protesters from Extinction Rebellion. Last weekend, they were in Cardiff. And on Maundy Thursday this year, the BBC screened David Attenborough's documentary, Climate Change, The Facts, A Climate Emergency. This is a looming catastrophe. There is absolutely no room for doubt or complacency. What we need is courage to act. So firstly, catastrophe. Today then we're facing a climate emergency, a catastrophe more intense with more frequent storms, heat waves, hurricanes, cyclones, typhoons, melting ice sheets and ice caps, rising sea levels, droughts, and crop failure. Over 1 billion people are facing a lack of food. Over 300 million people are being forced to leave their homeland because it's uninhabitable. It is the poorest people of this world who are at greatest risk, while it's the lifestyle of the richest nations, people like us, that has caused and is causing the emergency. It is a matter of justice. It is our consumption of fossil fuels in industry, power generation, and travel that is producing the greenhouse gases which are warming the planet. We are sailing full steam ahead into an iceberg. At the center of climate change is the greenhouse effect. The atmospheric duvet, a About half of the solar radiation is absorbed by the Earth's surface. And we need that. Needs to warm the Earth's surface for you and I to be able to survive. But infrared radiation is emitted from the Earth's surface. And most of that is being trapped and absorbed and re-emitted by the greenhouse gases, adding to the warming of the Earth's surface and to the lower atmosphere. The science is unequivocal. Last June was the hottest month of June ever recorded. 2018 was the warmest year on record, and 17 of the top 18 warmest years have occurred since the year 2000. The four hottest summers recorded have all taken place in the last decade. Agriculture is particularly at risk, with global warming beyond 1.5 degrees centigrade above the pre-industrial level. It's projected to result in reductions in yields of maize, rice and wheat, and potentially other cereal crops, particularly in the developing world of sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, Central and South America. The climate change impacts on sustainable development, on eradication of poverty, and reducing inequalities will be even greater if global warming increases at the present rate. So for Christians, this is a matter of justice. Well, that's the catastrophe. So where's the complacency? Well, some people suggest that we ignore the overwhelming scientific facts, maintaining that the climate isn't changing and that human beings aren't responsible. At the UN climate talks in Bonn at the end of June, the USA, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Russia refused to accept the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's report on the disastrous effects of growth in greenhouse gas emissions. Some Christians actually think it doesn't matter because God will create a new world, failing to understand that actually what the Bible talks about is God renewing creation, not giving us a new world to play with because we've destroyed the first one. Many people who, although they recognize the changes in climate, don't think it's going to affect them because it's happening in countries a long way away. We can attempt to sail away. We can close our eyes to the climate emergency all around us, because for many of us, we simply don't want to change our lifestyle, because it's going to affect us economically. It's going to limit our pleasure. It's going to take courage and sacrifice to act. The truth is that to address climate change, there will need to be mitigation. We'll actually be taking action to limit climate change. There will have to be adaptation. We'll have to change the way that we live to cope with climate change, and there will inevitably be suffering. The more mitigation and adaptation that we get involved in, the less will be the world's suffering. Catastrophe, complacency, courage. Last August, a 16-year-old Swedish schoolgirl called Greta Thunberg sat on the steps of the Swedish Parliament on strike from school to draw attention to climate change. She declared that she would strike every Friday until the Parliament took action. From her action, the Strike for Climate movement has seen millions of young people and schoolchildren worldwide striking on at least one Friday a month. I met a young woman this morning who has been on strike from school, supporting Strike for Climate. On Friday, March the 15th this year, 1.5 million children and young people worldwide were on strike. As Christians, we recognize God's good creation. We read in Genesis his call to care for creation. And if we're honest, we will recognize the truth of Genesis 3, that our selfishness and our desire to be in control and to know all the answers is leading to creation's destruction. But our hope is in Christ, through whom God promises to redeem creation. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to redeem the world through him. A worldview that puts Christ at the heart of creation gives us a distinctive set of values. The whole of creation has an intrinsic value, which comes from being created by Christ and valued by God. Christ, as the Redeemer of creation, and the promise that he holds all things together, provides a context of hope for the future of this world, and affirms that all of creation is interconnected, something that ecology is already teaching us, and that it is important to God. Christ's roles as supreme over all things and head of the church, as we read in Paul's letter to Colossae, challenge us to make his kingdom visible on earth as it is in heaven. With such a hope, we can live as purposeful disciples, looking to that time when God restores his covenant of peace, his shalom, in this world, when peace and faithfulness will mark our life and God's creation. In Romans 8, Paul observes that creation groans as it waits for us to behave in a Christ-like way. It is our Christian responsibility in our use of the earth's resources, in our consumption of fossil fuels, in recycling, and in holding our politicians to account. We need to take courage and we need to act. A key verse is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God is not the author of fear. Fear paralyzes us. But God, through his Spirit, gives us love, gives us the power to get things done, and wisdom, a sound mind to make good decisions. Our call is to love the world and our neighbors throughout the world as we love ourselves. The church should be presenting an alternative way of living based on our hope in God's promises and God's purposes for God's world. We need to act now. We can join other Christians around the world. You can read and follow what the John Ray Initiative is doing by going to its website. The Church of England Shrinking the Footprint campaign is another place as Anglicans to look. There is also Christian Aid and Tear Fund. There are Climate Stewards and Arosha UK. Catastrophe, complacency, courage. May God give us the courage to act.
you.